the fourth chapter we are reading, about how the sages of Naimisharanya, once we hear that, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam is where, you know, we can get light in the Kali Yuga, then they want to know everything about Srimad Bhagavatam, and you can see their eagerness. They just don't want to know, okay, what was the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam? They want to know, okay, where was it spoken? Why was it spoken? Why did Parikshit Maharaj leave everything and he heard and this and that and so many other questions? But one may think it's not relevant. Why are they asking about Parikshit Maharaj and all that? But the devotees of the Lord are very eager to know about anything related to Lord Shri Krishna. So therefore they're very happy to hear about the other devotees of the Lord and to hear about their activities and to hear about how they are taking shelter. So that is their impetus. And then they inspire Sukadeva Goswami to, Sukadeva Goswami to speak. And then they also have questions, why, how did people recognize Sukadeva Goswami? He was a madman. And so many other questions. So Sukadeva Goswami starts answering their questions. So now he's making this whole, he's creating the background of why Srimad Bhagavatam came about. So last week we read about how Vyasadeva, he took up this work of, you know, dividing all the, there was this one Veda, first Yajurveda, but then he divided it into four different Vedas. He gave each Veda to one of his disciples, each of his disciples, and they along with their disciples and grand-disciples all worked together so that they could document and write everything down according to time, place and circumstances. And then Vyasadeva also wrote Mahabharata and all the other Itihasas and Puranas. Because he thought that, you know, the women and the lower class and the Shudra people were not so philosophically inclined. But maybe by reading these things, you will read about Krishna Katha and you will be attracted to going back home back to heaven. So now Vyasadeva has done a lot of work with the people out of compassion for them. But now we will read how he is still not satisfied. How there is, his mind is not satisfied. He is not feeling happy inside. Having done all this mammoth work, this gigantic work, but he's not satisfied inside. His heart. So we start reading from text 26. Evam pravittasya sada bhutanam shreyasi dvija sarvatmakena piyada natushya dhidhidhu natushya dhridayam tatah. But twice born Brahmanas, still his mind was not satisfied. Although he engaged himself in working for the total welfare of all people. So he was doing everything only for the welfare of the people because he could see in his meditation, later on we will read, he could see in his meditation the anomalies of Kali Yuga. But how people will be suffering in Kali Yuga. You can see all that. That's why he is writing all these literatures. But he is not feeling happy in spite of completely engaging in the total welfare of other people. So we will read the reason for that. Text 27. Nati Ksusida Griddaya Saraswatya Sateshucha Vitarkayan Vivitasta Idam Chovacha Dharmavit. Thus the sage, being dissatisfied at heart, at once began to reflect because he knew the essence of religion and he said within himself, So if your mind is, you know, if you're working for the pleasure of the Lord, working out of welfare for the other people, then your ability to introspect within and to find out from what place you are acting from and from what your motivations are in life becomes stronger. Because anything that you see that is blocking in your life from being a total servant of the Lord or from being into giving other people, then you will be very eager to remove it. But if we don't have that service attitude, then we are serving our senses. So then it becomes very difficult because, you know, we think we are the biggest. But in the previous case, we think that the service is larger than me. So let me not be a blocker in being the Lord's mercy, transparent video of the Lord's mercy. So let me work on my anarthas. Let me remove them. So there is a joy in that introspection. There is a joy in that anartha. There is a joy in knowing, oh, I was wrong here. Let me fix it so that next time this particular anartha of mine does not block my service to the people. But when we are not working like that, when we are serving our senses, then any anartha we also see, we are not able to see only in the first place. Because we get this great joy in thinking and I am the most perfect person on the planet. Or to put it in a very difficult to digest way, we are not able to accept ourselves if we have made mistakes. We cannot accept our mistakes in our life. So we are not able to be loving to ourselves even if we have made a mistake. So therefore, we don't accept our mistake. Usually, people who are elevated, in every situation, they will see how they were a part of the problem and how they can fix it. But other people, and you can, I mean, I can say that about myself. I don't usually find myself, thinking about where I made a mistake. I'm always finding ways in which the other person was wrong. You know, when we talk like this in front of, say, even if you go and speak to our friends and all will be like, oh, I'm so sorry, you know, this is life is so tough for you and this and that. But when you speak with some senior people, senior devotees, they don't appreciate us. If we take them some problem to them, they won't think very highly of us if we constantly blame the other people around us in any situation. And we don't accept any responsibility for anything that we may have caused, or we don't even try to think like that. They may not tell us anything, but we can see the very fact that we are constantly blaming somebody else. That means we are not yet in that stable, emotional, sound position where we can accept that we were wrong somewhere and that we can still be loving to ourselves and fix it. The problem happens is we want to project this perfect image, not to the outside world, but we want to feel, oh, I'm perfect. And therefore, if any fault is pointed out to us, then we are not able to take it because we want to believe we are perfect. We will not be able to love ourselves if we are not perfect. But if we are able to be loving to ourselves even when we are not perfect, if we are able to accept our faults, see, one is, I love myself, I know I have faults, but I love myself, that's arrogance. The real loving and accepting yourself is when you are able to accept your faults and work upon them. And put in all that energy, change that perspective, put that energy on yourself and work on yourself so that you can be a transparent vayamaya, the Lord's mercy. Nobody is perfect, we are all born with four defects here. So even if we try to prove it to somebody, and especially to saintly people, they are going to laugh at us because we can see our defect. Our very defect is blaming somebody else. If we approach, if we are in a situation and if we approach them thinking that, I did all these things, I am in this situation, and I find the situation very difficult for me, very difficult, what is happening to me is not very positive, but I don't know where I am going wrong, can you please help me? Usually we remain stuck in some problems because Krishna wants us to learn some lesson. Until we learn that lesson, we will keep butting our head in that same type of problem. Once we learn our lesson, and the lesson is not that, okay, stay away from this person who is bugging me, stay away from the situation that is keeping them. The lesson we have to learn is more internal. We have to introspect. What do I need to fix in myself? So then when we are able to do that, we make advancement. Like we will see in Vyasadeva's case. Next 28 and 29. Nahi maya chandam se guravu jnaya manita nirvayalikena grihitam janushasanam భారత వ్యాపదేశేన యామానాయార్థ సచ ప్రదర్శిత దృశ్యతే త్యత్ర ధర్మాది విశ్రుద్రాదిరవీత. I have understood the superior vows and pretentiously worship the Vedas. The spiritual master and the altar of sacrifice. I have also abided by the rulings and have shown the importance of disciplic succession through the explanation of the Mahabharata, by which even women, Shudras and others, friends of the twice born, can see the path of religion. Right? So, purport, no one can understand the import of the Vedas without having undergone a strict disciplinary vow and disciplic succession. The Vedas, spiritual masters and sacrificial fire must be worshipped by the desiring candidate. All these intricacies of Vedic knowledge are systematically presented in the Mahabharata for the understanding of the women class. Liberal class and the unqualified members of Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya families. In this way, the Mahabharata is more essential than the original Vedas. So here, the first line in the purport is that no one can understand the import of the Vedas without having undergone a strict disciplinary vow and disciplic succession. So now, how do we relate that statement to ourselves? We all have our particular role in society, our particular role in our family. And then there are regulated principles of devotional service that need to be followed. If we follow those rigidly, the Prabhupada writes down in some places in the rigid practice of devotional service, we don't miss our chanting of Hare Krishna any single day. We just stick to that vow. We stick to our vow of hearing, stick to our vow of chanting, stick to our vow of taking care of our dependents nicely, and all the prescribed duties that are there for us in a woman's body. Then we will also be able to understand the real import of the Vedas, which is Lord Sri Krishna himself. It is wrong to consider that that I can compromise on these things. No. When we do these things, it purifies us. And sometimes it purifies us more rapidly than just of course we have to hear lectures and do all those things, but the realization comes from doing your duties and your services nicely. That is where the realization is situated. So we have to do that. And now here it is said, in this age, the Mahabharata is more essential than the original Vedas. So the Bhakti Veda classes have started. Yesterday night, we started reading from the third canto, Radha Krishna Prabhu was explaining to us, first chapter. So he was telling, in that also there is reference to Mahabharata, about how Vidura is trying to tell Dhritarashtra, your son is a nonsense, Duryodhan, he's going to cause the downfall. You are giving shelter to a non-devotee. You're not right. Duryodhan gets very angry and starts telling him, you have, you know, eaten at her home and you're the son of a maid servant and look at the audacity you have to speak and blah, blah, blah. So there's a reference on Mahabharata. So Radha Krishna Prabhu is telling us that we must read Mahabharata. Because when we read over there, we will see, you know, all the intrigue, all the politics, all the duplicity, all the different things, the behavior. So we will see how much of all of that is there in our hearts. Then we can see that, okay, when the cat was there in Shakuni's heart, it was there in Duryodhana's heart, how did it lead to the downfall? So then we can search, we can very easily find in our heart also. And some good things we will find, how the dharma was very nicely. It's not about feelings. I feel like it, I do it. No. Everyone was acting not from ignorance, where it was about the mind, but it was about even the platform of dharma. So we can see how Yudhishthira Maharaj acted, how Draupadi acted, how Kunti Devi acted, how, you know, how so many other people acted. They followed the dharma so nicely. And because they were following the dharma very nicely, because they wanted to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna was there always with them. So when we read the Mahabharata, get that understanding. We all must read, Radha Krishna Prabhu said. Text 30. Tatha पीबत मे दह्यो ह्यात्मा चैवात्मना विभो असंपन्न इवा भाति ब्रह्म वर्चस्य सत्समाः. I'm feeling incomplete, though I myself am fully equipped with everything required by the Vedas. Undoubtedly, Sri Vyasadeva was complete in all the details of Vedic achievement. Purification of the living being submerged in matter is made possible by the prescribed activities in the Vedas. Prabhupada is again telling that. Purification of the living being submerged in matter is made possible by the prescribed activities in the Vedas. But the ultimate achievement is different. Unless it is attained, the living being, even though fully equipped, cannot be situated in a transcendentally normal stage. So here, we should have asked the grave. Appear to have lost the clue and therefore felt dissatisfaction. So one may say, okay, my parents are doing the prescribed duties very nicely. No, so Prabhupada is telling, yeah, you get purified when you do prescribed duties, but you have to connect everything with Krishna. So because your Vyasadeva was doing, he was acting from the mode of goodness, doing the dharma properly, you know, being compassionate, doing all of these things. But he missed one very important point. There were a lot of zeros, but there was no one who had value to the whole thing. Text 31. किं वा भागवता धर्मान् न प्रायेण निरूपिताः याः परमहंसानां त एव ह्यच्युतप्रियाः. This may be because I did not specifically point out devotional service of the Lord, which is dear both to the perfect beings and to the infallible Lord. The purport. The dissatisfaction which was being felt by Srila Vyasadeva was expressed here in his own words. So because he was situated on a mode of goodness and on a platform of giving constantly, he was able to find the discrepancy within himself. But because we are so distracted in trying to fulfill our own agenda, we never are able to find any discrepancy in ourselves, because our own agenda does not require purification, but serving some other people requires us to purify ourselves. Right? So, Mr. Prabhupada is saying, this was felt for the normal condition of the living being in the devotional service of the Lord. Unless one is fixed in the normal condition of service, neither the Lord nor the living being can be fully satisfied. This defect was felt by him when Narad Muni, his spiritual master, reached him. It is described as follows. Tasyaivam khilam atmanam manyamanasya kidyatah krishnasya narado bhyagad ashramam bhagudahitam. As mentioned before, Narada reached the cottage of Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa on the banks of the Saraswati, just as Vyasadeva was regretting his defects. The vacuum felt by Vyasadeva was not due to his lack of knowledge. Right? We all have jnana. We are all attending many classes, giving many classes. Right? Bhagavad Dharma is purely devotional service of the Lord to which the monist has no access. The monist is not counted amongst the Paramahamsa. Srimad Bhagavatam is full of narrations of the transcendental activities of the personality of Godhead. Although Vyasadeva was an empowered divinity, he still felt dissatisfaction because in none of his works were the transcendental activities of the Lord properly explained. The inspiration was infused with Sri Krishna directly in the heart of Vyasadeva, and thus he felt the vacuum as explained above. It is definitely expressed here that without the transcendental loving service of the Lord, everything is void. But in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, everything is tangible without any separate attempt at fruitive work or empiric, philosophical speculation. Text 33, and then we end the chapter, and then we'll go into discussion and see how we can apply this in our lives. Tamam avijnaya sahasa pratyuthaya gatam munih pujayam ashavidhivam naradam shura pujitam. At the auspicious arrival of Sri Narada, Sri Vyasadeva got up respectfully and worshipped him, giving him veneration equal to that given to Brahmaji, the creator. We must also offer such veneration to the Shiksha Guru in Seattle, Harivilas Prabhu, because he is always available. We can take him cheaply, or we may use him sometimes for our needs, which is wrong, which is offensive. So we must also have this culture. Oh, good. Vidhi means Brahma, the first created living being. He is the original student as well as professor of the Vedas. He learned it from Sri Krishna and taught Narada first. Narada is the second Acharya of the line of spiritual disciplic succession. He is the representative of Brahma, and therefore he is respected exactly like Brahma, the father of all Vidhis. Similarly, all other successive disciples in the chain are also equally respected as representatives of the original spiritual master. So, when Brahmaji was born, and he was taking So when Brahmaji was born and he wasn't able to find the source of his birth, and then he tried to go down the lotus temple, could only see darkness and everything, didn't know what to do, but then he heard the two words tapa. So then he started meditating for millions and millions of years. And the Lord was pleased by him. The Lord came out and said that, you know, this is an ornament of all the sages, this austerity. And it's very pleasing to me. So we must all do that. The practices of devotional service. So then Lord Vishnu explained the Chatushloki Bhagavatam to Brahma. He gave the entire Bhagavatam in four shlokas, and it is there in the second canto. And after giving that to him, went in. So then when Narad Muni came to Brahmaji, inquiring him for many questions that he had, then Brahmaji was explaining, okay, this is how I was born, this is how this happened, this is how the Chatushloki Bhagavatam was given to me, and Narada, I want you to give it further. I want you to spread this particular thing. Now, we see at this juncture, Narad Muni is coming to Vyasadeva. He is going to follow the instructions of his spiritual master Brahmaji, from whom he received the Bhagavatam, and who in turn received from Lord Shri Krishna, as Prabhupada is explaining on this particular purport. So, with great happiness, we finish the fourth chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's wonderful. We're all reading together. And had we gone in sequence from 2.5 years ago, we would have probably been on the third canto by now. But I guess even that journey was very important to get everyone excited about Srimad Bhagavatam. So I want to focus today's discussion. I'm going to give a lot more time to discussion today. It's a very important point. I personally feel it a lot of times in my life. And it's important to meditate on this thing, meditate on this particular... Why are we writing about what Vyasadeva was feeling? Right? And how can we apply this in our life? So this essence here is that Vyasadeva has done so much welfare work, but he's still feeling that emptiness in his heart. And he doesn't know how to do it. But then when, because he's situated, he's elevated, he's empowered divinity, he's able to come to the root cause of that conclusion. Now, how many times have we... You know, there is this hole of this particular void in our lives. The void of Lord Shri Krishna is there in all of our lives. Right? Now, many times we feel lonely, we feel frustrated, we feel angry, we feel we feel unloved by the people around us. It's a very big problem to feel unloved. We feel uncared for. We feel people don't reciprocate nicely with us. And so many things, right? And then you see when we react to all of that, we're not very excited, we're not very happy, we're angry, we get upset on them and all that. But then sometimes we see that people treat even the very senior devotees like that. Yeah, there's such a thing where when you become elevated, everyone talks nicely. But then I was looking at the lives of, you know, to know that I'm a neophyte, of course. Not that I think I'm elevated right now, but I used to think, okay, you know, maybe I'm a neophyte, so I'm causing them to react like this to me because I have bad qualities. When I develop very nice qualities, everyone will speak very nicely to me. Everyone will love me very nicely, care for me very nicely. But then as you spend more time doing service and dealing with people and everyone, and you see, so you see Harivilas Prabhu in action, right? You know, he's tolerating a lot of us. We are not pure devotees over here, so we have a certain way in which we do service, certain attitude we have when we talk to him, certain attitude we have when we are doing service. We have our own motivation, we have our own desires for service and all that. And just to see him in action, to handle all of us, you know, is a big learning experience for me and for all of us who do service in the temple, right? It's not that everyone is nice to him or everyone is behaving in a very straight way with him. You know, because they are neophytes. We don't know how to respect a pure devotee of the Lord. But we see that he is able to act very nicely with everyone. He is not getting agitated. He is not getting angry. He is not getting upset. He is not belittling them, demeaning them and all of that. So when I see that and I wonder, you know, that how to get that quality? How to be like that? And then one thing that really stands out is that people will treat people in the same way because people don't know how to treat and love and respect people. But what sets a senior, like a pure devotee, apart is their strength in connection with the Lord. So the sense of satisfaction and happiness is coming from that service to the Lord. Right? So that particular, so they don't have any hole to fill in their lives. So they're fully satisfied, fully atmara. And they're not needing anything else. They're so satisfied in doing this service. They're not even needing that reciprocation from Krishna because all they want is to keep serving Lord Shri Krishna and Prabhupada. But in our lives, we have this Krishna void, which is still open. It's a big gaping hole. Right? Now we try to fill that hole with many things. And I read what Burijan Prabhu has written down. Right? Burijan Prabhu has written down that Srila Prabhupada highlights Vyasadeva's problems, Vyasadeva's problem in his purpose to text 31 and 32, assuring us that it is the same essential problem each soul in the material world faces. Alienation. Naturally, all souls trapped in matter feel dissatisfied, lonely and empty because all of them are separated from Krishna, right? So all souls trapped in matter feel dissatisfied, lonely and empty because all of them are separated from Krishna. activities performed in the material realm, from shopping to intoxication, from humanitarianism to nationalism, are simply the conditioned soul's attempt to relieve that emptiness. So activities performed in the material realm, from shopping to intoxication, from humanitarianism to nationalism, are simply the conditioned soul's attempt to relieve that emptiness. So now, let's talk about these activities. Shopping, you know, you're feeling lonely, or go to a mall. Or intoxication, okay, we are following four regulative principles, we're not getting intoxicated here. But then we all have our own intoxicants. Anger is like an intoxicant, because we can't deal with that pain and emptiness in our life, so then the anger becomes an intoxicant, because it helps us bury the pain and push the blame on somebody else, right? Or we'll engage in humanitarian activities, like what Vyasadeva was doing. More around humanitarian activities, where he is just talking about where Vyasadeva is teaching everyone about the Vedas and this and that. So it's more like on the humanitarian or philanthropic level, because it's not going to get people to the goal of loving Krishna, right? So he's not talked about Krishna's pastimes. He's not talked about devotional service to the Lord. Are simply the conditions for the attempts to relieve that emptiness. But none of these activities go to the heart of the matter, and therefore none of them can negate the emptiness. The only thing that can relieve the conditioned souls of their sense of alienation is the re-establishment of their constitutional loving relationship with Krishna. No activity, even writing spiritual masterpieces, as Srila Vyasadeva's example shows, can replace alienation with a lasting sense of completeness. Nothing short of devotedly serving and glorifying Krishna can deeply satisfy the soul. So we're all looking for this particular satisfaction of the soul. We are restless beings. We are restless in our relationships, restless in our interactions. We feel incomplete. And then we try to do different things. We try to find our sense of self-worth, or we try to go to work, or we try to do something creative, or we try to look pretty, or we try to do something or the other, you know, so that we can feel more completeness and not so alienated by the whole situation around us. But because we are spiritual beings having a material experience, that alienation cannot go away. That alienation can only go away when we develop that connection with Krishna. And once that connection with Krishna is very strong, we will not feel that loneliness in our lives. We will not feel upset when people don't reciprocate with us in a way in which we want them to reciprocate with us. We will not be frustrated, because we will be so solid and so firm in our connection with Krishna. So I would like to have discussion on this. Let's find out what is that emptiness, and how we deal with it, and how we can change how we deal with it. You know, sometimes we're feeling empty, and then we try to fill it up with something else immediately, because we can't handle that emptiness. I feel that experience too. Right? And then we can't handle that experience, so then we try to fill it with something else. Right? But in that moment, we can take a step back and think, oh, I'm feeling empty right now. Oh, I'm not feeling very happy right now. Oh, I'm not feeling satisfied in this conversation right now. Let me chant the holiness. Let me strengthen the connection with Krishna. Or when we observe ourselves taking shelter of some other things like that to fill that hole, right? But it's a black hole. It cannot be filled by anything except for Krishna, right? When we see ourselves doing that and we're not able to do anything else, then we must realize one thing. I need to strengthen my connection with Krishna. And that is to be done through the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. So anyone would like to share something? I know there is Sangeeta, and there is Amutha, there's Navya, there's Devi Sudanya, and there's Madhvi Tati on the call. Anyone else? Please announce yourselves and please share any points.
Hare Krishna Mataji, this is Chandrika speaking.
Hari Bol Chandrika.
Hari Bol. Yeah.
Hare Krishna
Mataji, this is Shalini. Excuse me.
Hari Bol Shalini Mataji. Who else is there on the call?
Pooja.
Pooja, Hare Krishna. Anyone else? All right. Yes, Chandrika was saying something.
Yeah, I want to share my experience, Chandrika. Yeah, actually, I also experienced the same thing from last 5-6 years. I'm feeling alone, within 2 hours, I'll think about that for some time, and after that I will go to the altar and take some books of like Ramayana or something else. I have one book with Telugu. I'll just go through the pages and all. I'll feel much better that I'm with some communication with Krishna and I'm with some good friends. I experience the same thing. I don't bother about the outside world, outside people and all. And this is the same experience I have got this. So I'm trying to make chanting every day, some or other way. Not only the Harikatha mantra, whatever it is. It is helping me not to feel alone, not to be aloof. I'm in this now. This communication with Krishna.
Very wonderful. I'm so happy to hear that.
I felt a lot of grief for that. I came out of that grief miraculously with the help of God itself.
Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing. I mean, you're a strong person that you were able to do that. Many of us get that thought, but then at least I don't find myself doing that, you know. We know it, we should do it like that and everything, but you're doing it. So, you know, it's wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing and inspiring all of us.
Sometimes we will forget about that. I will be in the material consciousness, but after some time, it will only make me remember about him. And I will go just check the books and whatever I have, and I will be good with whatever I have. I will be very satisfied with what I have, yeah.
Wonderful. May you be the light for all of us. And you, thank you for sharing. It's very inspiring.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Anyone else like to share something? As we hear Chandrika sharing, it gives us strength to follow it. So, you know, it inspires us. So please share something. We have a good 25 minutes left.
So let me structure the discussion. Nobody's coming up with something. What are the different things we try to fill the void in our hearts with? Bhujan Babu mentioned something, shopping, intoxication, humanitarianism, nationalism, like that. What are the things, some of the things we find ourselves filling the void with? Well, of course, we are all trying to become devotees of Krishna and we are taking shelter of Krishna also, but still we are filling our void with many other things. What is it?
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanavad Jai Shri Prabhupada, this is Samita.
Yes.
I like to share a couple of my experiences. Before Krishna consciousness, when I heard my grandma's death, I felt completely, my heart was ripped apart, you know, it was completely vacant, and I remember saying to my husband, I have a hole in my heart, and I didn't know how to fill it up. I was crying, and then later on I felt, I asked him, I didn't know what to do and how to be helped. So I told him, like, can I watch something else, because I couldn't take my mind off it. And
little bit. Can you speak into the phone, please?
Yes, Mataji, I'm trying. But it is echoing.
Somebody, I think is on speaker.
Hare Krishna.
Try again. Maybe it was my laptop speaker was on, so it was echoing back from the Skype. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Just please go ahead.
Yeah, but now still sometimes, you know, we try to surf the internet, or, you know, I personally do sometimes, I try to go out and to fill that void, as aptly put it. But finally it comes to the point that unless sometimes I will not be able to handle it, so what I do is I just go to sleep. But going to sleep also doesn't help. So I just start hearing lectures. So if I'm not able to chant, I start hearing lectures. And, you know, just focusing on just hearing the voice, nothing else. Or, you know, Prabhupada's chanting. That helps a lot for me. Because finally it boils down to, unless you turn towards Krishna, that void is never satisfied. It never fills up. It's never, the problem also is never solved. Nothing happens. So this was what I felt. So thank you, Mataji.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing and bringing up another point. But yes, you know, the lives in this country can be very lonely because of the lack of the social structure and the connection and the family setup and everything. So we also feel loneliness because of that. As Amata Mataji is pointing out, and also Chandrika said, that, you know, like, she's taking shelter of Krishna, she's trying to chant or walk her walk, or hear lectures, which is really helping them. So, I know all of, at least I experience that too, you know, sometimes just sitting at home and, you know, it can get hard for me sometimes. So these are also very nice tips that, you know, just immediately turn our attention to Krishna, and you feel immediately satisfied, some siddhi. Anyway, Hari Toshanam, the Lord is pleased within your heart, is also satisfied. It's wonderful. Anyone else? Shalini Talwar, having you after a long time, can you please share something?
Hare Krishna Mataji. I'm sorry, Mataji. Not at this time.
Not able to gather.
Sorry, Mataji.
No problem. Who else was there on the call? Angita, you have anything to share?
Hare Krishna. No, I was just thinking, you know, what is it that I do when I feel sad? I never felt lonely. That is one thing, but I don't feel lonely ever. I am quite a self-entertained person. I have a lot of avenues through which I just get an outlet that I don't feel lonely ever. Ever since I stepped into this country, I don't know if that is good or bad, but that's how it's been. I've never felt homesick, or I guess I just adapt to the environment, you know, to the new environment as and when needed. But when it comes to distress or any kind of situation that makes you sad, like Amuda Mataji said, you know, loss of a person, of a close family member or something, it's quite painful. Without Krishna consciousness, I think it would have become very hard to tell ourselves, to tell our mind, our soul, you know, what to expect and why this is happening and stuff like that. But as my knowledge in this area is expanding, I get more strength through people around me, through the association of devotees, and more than that, the feeling that Krishna is there for me no matter what. He's there as a protector, as a savior. He's watching over me, and you know, as long as I am not doing anything which is demeaning or which is against you know, the principles of religion, I feel that I am in a safe haven because Krishna is there to protect me. And there is something called karma, you know, that affects me a lot. So I always watch my actions. Yeah, sometimes consciously or unconsciously we may try to, we might have hurt other person, but I try to avoid, you know, committing any kind of sin that can have, you know, that can backfire on me later on. Because as it is, I feel that we are so stuffed with, you know, past karma that it is so difficult to get rid of, the things that are happening currently with us. You know, we're not able to avoid the situation. So karma is something that I really strongly believe in. And, you know, the saying that what goes around comes around.
So I try to see that I cause as little harm as possible to anybody, and you know, try to be more loving and giving sort of person. And of course, you know, we do get affected by these by the dualities, you know, of this world, of this material world. But as much as possible, if we take if we like take the shelter of holy name, I'm sure, you know, we get a lot of strength and courage. I'm not, again, a chanting person. I'm not the person who can, you know, resort to chanting in times of distress. And so actually, I kind of stay away from that. But what I do is open out, you know, to Krishna, just loud and clear, and tell him, you know, what my sorrows are. And then I also think of Kunti, and I think of Draupadi, and I think of their situation that they were in. For no rhyme or reason, for no fault of theirs, if they had to go through such pain, you know, such a lot of distress, then I feel, oh my God, look at them. This is nothing compared to what, you know, Dulki ladies have gone through. Not only them, there's so many people, you know, around us who are in so much suffering and so much misery that... Then, you know, then my problem seems to be very trivial, very minuscule in front of them. And I only try to see if I could be of some help to others. And that way, when I try to, give comfort to another person, more than me, then I feel more happy and I feel more energetic. And especially when the other person comes and tells me, my God, you know, this... And if I talk to them, you know, from a spiritual angle as to how to look at their problems, not that I imbibe it, in my life completely, but I try to. So then when I give, you know, that kind of advice to somebody who is in need of it at that particular moment, especially my close friends, and when they find it so helpful, I feel good. I feel that, okay, spiritualism definitely helps a lot. You know, it helps you stay strong. It keeps your mind alert to things that you are doing. And more than that, it also helps other person revive, you know, from their... I think, you know, this Krishna consciousness definitely works, and it definitely helps people in distress. And whether happy or sad, you know, we just need to have faith in God and, you know, believe that, okay, as long as we are not... You know, we are doing the right things. We shouldn't worry about anything else. So that's my take on this.
Thank you so much, Sangeeta, for your heartful sharing. So it's nice to let Sangeeta bring up another point, which I missed. You know, like Vyasadeva was not feeling satisfied, even if he tried all his best to help people. He was not feeling satisfied because he was not bringing them closer to Krishna. Right? But as Sangeeta is mentioning, when we see somebody in difficulty, and if we show them Krishna's light in that difficulty, we show them his compassion, show them his mercy, then that will give us more satisfaction. So just like Vasudev, he is not feeling satisfied by helping people like that. And the root, he figures out his root is that he is not bringing people closer to Krishna. So when we are helping somebody, our goal should be how we can bring this person closer to Krishna. That's a nice point Sangeeta brought up. So we have nice points from Chandrika, that in brief she turns to Ramayana or Krishna and she feels close and she feels she has a friend and that has helped her overcome her grief. And as Amuta Mataji was talking about dealing with this loneliness part where, you know, she is turning on lectures or she is turning on... Not just loneliness, but also the void in the life that we feel here, more than we do in India, which is a good thing actually when you're going to fill it with Krishna. And then Sangeeta Mataji talks about helping people by bringing them closer to Krishna. And then also, we are all resorting, the point of this today's call is that we are all resorting to some sort of avenues to keep ourselves happy, entertained, and fulfilled. So we have to at least recognize that Sangeeta Mataji is telling that she's trying to think about what does she do, you know. So we have to sit and recognize what those avenues are in our life and how can it is know where we stand and how we can gradually make our avenues, go to more Krishna conscious avenues other than the avenues that we are currently used to. Because only Krishna unconscious avenues will give us lasting satisfaction in the heart. So we have to know where this is where we stand and okay, I want to grow out of this thing. And then we take one thing at a time and we keep changing that in our life. Then we will become more and more Krishna conscious. If we don't make that observation, then we cannot make any change because we don't know what we have to change. So these are some nice points shared by everyone. Anything else from anyone else? Okay, and one more point is that we all have human needs of feeling connected with people around us also, and human interaction and all. So yeah, we must continue doing that. You know, it's not that we deny ourselves that. But again, Krishna is the whole thing. You know, maybe we are going out for meeting people. So, you know, how can we make every interaction in our life more Krishna conscious? And everything that we do, every minute that we do, because Krishna consciousness is not about doing big, big services. Or having a life of parallel life of services and a parallel other life. It's not like that. Every moment of our life can be Krishna conscious and we have to get there. And the one thing that helps us really get there is very nice and sincere calling out to Krishna every morning, you know, requesting him that please connect me. You know, I want to be connected with you. Please help me. I want to stay connected with you. Please engage me in your service. So then we will also start seeing services as a way to connect with Krishna. Like that. Anyone else? Or we will end the call for the day. Alright. So instead of celebrating true womanhood call instead of Thursday, this week we will be doing it tomorrow. Sent out email yesterday and also updated on Facebook. I'm informing you all again. I will be sending out an email tonight or tomorrow morning with all the links and that need to be studied that we will be reading tomorrow. So from tomorrow we'll start discussing about women's duties as described in Srimad Bhagavatam by Narad Muni, Yudhishthir Maharaj. And so it's exciting. So tomorrow we'll discuss the Shastric part of it. And after that, we will, the next two or three calls, we will see, okay, now this is what is expected out of us. How do we apply these principles in today's day, time, circumstances, time, place, and circumstances, and also according to our conditioning? Because as we discussed in the first call itself, if we immediately just jump to it without recognizing what our conditioning is, we will not be able to sustain. So for us to be able to follow these things, we have to recognize our conditioning. And I have a request for all the devotees on this call. I received news this morning, it's again a Tuesday, and it was last Tuesday that my father's father passed away. Today morning I received news that my mother's father passed away. So please pray for him. He was about 86 years old. He was in a lot of pain. And please pray that he always remains servant of the lotus feet of Sri Radha Nilamara and all the devotees. I was fortunate to be able to meet both my grandfathers last year when I went. I made it a point that I went and saw both of them. And both of them heard Prabhupada's chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, at least when I was there. And for my father's father, I know his servants were chanting him, you know, the people serving him every day, the personal servants, they were chanting one round every day because I had asked him to. Regarding my mother's father, he has heard Prabhupada's Maha Mantra chanting because he was very sick when I went last year. So please pray for them and for my mother because she's not doing very well right now. She's feeling a little